Haggai and chapter 1. Haggai chapter 1. I left a couple things undone this morning, and with some understanding that I was preaching again tonight, and I think it's helpful to just to round out chapter 1. There's a lot more we could say. I'm sure you could preach a lot out of the book, but just to finish off some things that we started. It's always good to finish things, isn't it? And that'd be good to do. Haggai chapter 1, I won't read the whole chapter for us. We have read that this morning, and I'm trusting that it's still familiar to you as we've looked through a portion of it. But I do want to go through the last part of the chapter. We'll just do a short recap of this morning so we just can jump straight into tonight. But in Haggai chapter 1, and we'll just read from verse 12 to 14. If we could just stand again for the reading of the Word of God. It's only a short part of the chapter. Haggai chapter 1 and verse number 12, it says, "Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts their God, in the 24th day of the 6th month, in the 2nd year of Darius the king." Amen. Let's just pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we want to thank you and bless you for the privilege of coming together again. And Lord, we've been reminded, Lord, by some of the words that we've sung about the promises of God, about, Lord, the importance of taking time out with you to spend alone. Lord, many things that have maybe triggered in our mind, certain things that are so important for us as your children. And Father, we've been encouraged by just the singing. But Father, we would now ask your Holy Spirit would minister to our hearts the Word of God. I pray that we would be sensitive to the areas that you're working on. And Lord, that we'd not miss, Lord, through inattention. And Lord, through perhaps distractions that are around us in our lives or maybe in this room. But Lord, we'd give our full attention to the Word of God. And you'd help me, Lord, just to be able to share, Lord, some truth from your word, that you might be honored, that you might be glorified, and that the Holy Spirit's work would continue, we pray and ask in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. This morning we considered a few things about the building of the house of the Lord, and we tried to make some application. I hope it was clear enough. Sometimes it's difficult with such a passage to cover the depth of things that are in there. And I was talking with Brother Buddy this afternoon on some of those things and questioning him on some of the things I'd even said. And I said, you know, I may have to retract some of the things I said. And then after discussing them, we kind of agreed that maybe not, we could leave it. So what was I going to retract? It's none of your business, all right? But anyways, sometimes as you read through the Word of God, there are things that sort of just stand out to you. And it's in that moment that you feel the Spirit of God or sense the Spirit of God speaking to your heart on some things. And then there are other times when they maybe don't stand out so much. And that's why it's a wonderful thing if you had to preach through passages more than one time and to hear messages from different preachers from the very same passages, because you'll learn so much. And some of these things I would say, the reason why I've preached on them are because they're very personal to myself and because they're things that God's brought to my attention in regard to my own walk with Him. And sometimes those things aren't so easy to preach on, because as you preach on them, you're fully aware there is some incompetence as far as to be able to describe how it exactly should be because of the process that you're still working through it in your own heart and life. So if I come across as I know what I'm talking about, I'm coming across, I've been shown some things, and I'm trying to work on some things. And so bear with me on that. This is not being preached from a perspective of having arrived or attained. No, quite the opposite. I feel like a child in some regards to some of these truths. And I'm very much learning them and trying to put them in practice in my own life. There are a couple things that we identified this morning. One of them was the need to consider. The need to consider, and the fact that it's mentioned twice, two occasions, would give some sort of importance to that command. Consider. I believe it's a thing we ought to regularly do, to consider this building project or what God's trying to do in our lives as we labour with Him. That's really what it is. It's a dual thing that's happening. It's not just one, it's both. And some people like to push it from just the human perspective, and other people like to push it from, well, it's just God that works in us and then there's nothing we can do about it. No, it's both. Sanctification is one of the things that I mentioned this morning, and sanctification is a dual process. It is God working in me both to will and to do of His good pleasure, but if I sink the boot in and say I'm not going anywhere, it'll make it awful hard. So there needs to be some willingness on my part to conform to what God wants, to be transformed in those areas in my life. We looked at there is some effort required. Verse 8, climb the mountain. And that's where a lot of Christians kind of falter, because they see the effort that's required to maintain this close fellowship with God. Most people that I've observed in the first initial stage of them being saved don't have a problem with this. They want to do everything they possibly can for the Lord. It only happens when you start to realize what God actually expects that you start to say, well, just a minute. Just a minute. And oftentimes there's a faltering, and sometimes it is brought on by opposition, as is in the case here. All right, but it does require some effort. And then we saw how God is hindering those who will not follow what He says they need to do. He's a hindrance to them, not a help. And I believe it's important sometimes when we have these seasons of life to try and identify what the problem is. In those verses there, in verses 10 through 11, 10 and 11, well, verses 9 through 11, we see that God says there that He is going to withhold from them what He would normally have given to them. Now, there are times and seasons in our lives, and no doubt you're identifying with this as I'm saying it, where there are seasons of lack and want and almost like a drought spiritually in your life. Now, there are times when that is perfectly legitimate and okay, and that's what God would have, but there are other times when that's not His will for your life, you've brought it upon yourself. And you need to be careful how you approach it. All right, you could just say, oh, that's just the way it is. That's just the Christian life. It's just hard sometimes, and it's just lean sometimes, and there's just plain old boring sometimes. Be careful. Be careful. You may settle for something that God does not intend for you. All right, now we have to recognize that God does things in His timing. All right, it is up to God when He does things. It's not up to me. And we need to recognize, though, that sometimes this drought of spiritualness in my life, spirituality, whatever it may be spiritual growth, it may be God's leading in my life, it may be just the blessings in my life, whatever it is, and we're looking and we think, this is just a pattern that's starting to develop. What's the problem for it? Well, it might be because there's some things prior to that I'm not doing. It may be I'm just not considering. Or it may be that I'm not just going up the mountain anymore. Whatever it may be, there's something there that is prolonging this period of time. God help us recognize when that happens, though. How much time have we wasted in leanness and in drought when we could have been enjoying the blessing of God simply for being obstinate, being stubborn? I want to focus, though, particularly on verses 12 through 15. I don't want to be too long tonight. I know this week's going to be a long week, and we'll have opportunity, I'm sure, to fellowship around the Word of God on many occasions. But in verse 12, I want to look at the people's response to what was given as a challenge to them. people's response. I always like to see how people respond. You give them something to think on and to chew on, and then you wait for their response. It's good to ask people, so what do you think? And to see what they have to say. Well, the message has been given from the message of the Lord from the man of God. And in verse 12, we see the response, right? Now, this is what I believe our response ought to be when we're challenged to consider and to continue the work that's going in our life that God wants to do and he wants us to do. But in verse 12, it says, "Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed." That's a pretty good response. Now, there's a couple things in this verse that I want to identify as things that we need to have in our life if the work of God is going to continue the way he wants it to continue. The first thing here, it comes down to obedience. It comes down to what we would call service. Service. Now, we have been saved to serve. The Lord Jesus, in the upper room, when he was going and having the Passover feast with his disciples, in John chapter 13, demonstrated to us what a Christian ought to do. You remember the scene, they're sitting there or reclining there as would have been their custom, eating a meal. And the Lord Jesus says he rose from supper. He laid aside his garment, the outer garment. He girded himself with a towel and then he started to go around this group of disciples and he started to wash their feet. And we know the responses of some. Peter was pretty uptight about it, pretty upset that the Lord would have to humble himself in front of him when he should have been the one who was doing the service. But the Lord Jesus was laying down a very important principle of every believer, and that relates to service. Service for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord said, in the same way, now I'm paraphrasing this, in the same way I've done this to you, you ought to do for others. Right? Now, I believe the local church is where service starts. Happens in the church. If you're not prepared to serve your fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord, you will be of no service or help to a lost person. All right? The Lord Jesus said to his disciples, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples by the love you have one for another." Not the feeling of love, but I believe the service of love. You see, the service of love does things without any expectation of a reward or return. That is true service. All right? Now, in this passage here, before we preach another message from John 13, that's illustration. But here, the Bible says that when they were confronted with the issue of a lack of service, it says they obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. Service. I think we said this morning, service, or some call it maybe ministry. There's different terms you might give it. But it does not just revolve around the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. It is a small part of it. It's an important part, but it is a small part. If you only had preaching in this church and you had no cleaners, you had no Sunday school workers, you had no ushers, you had no musicians, if you had nothing else, it would be a pretty boring service. I say that with all due respect to the preaching of the Word of God and the importance of it. But that is not the sole focus of why we come together. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says this, "Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another." An exhortation through our service. I believe that's what it's talking about. Serving one another with exhortation and with being a blessing to one another. You know, we ought to desire to be in God's house. Why? To be a blessing to somebody else. You say, "I just want to go to church so I receive a blessing." You've come for the wrong reason. You ought to come to church to be a blessing to somebody else. If you've just come to get a blessing, you're a sponge. If you've come to be a blessing, you're a stream. There's something coming out of you. All right, but service. Service is so important. Their judgment is going to be based on the things that we do in the body, whether they be good or whether they be bad. It's based on our service. All right? The believer has been saved to serve. But not just service. Have a look in this verse here. Very interesting. And this is a topic I've been having some conversation with Brother Buddy over, and it just sort of stood out the page of me when I was looking at this afternoon. I hadn't seen it particularly in this way before. It says, in the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, all right, and the people did fear before the Lord. Two very important aspects which I believe every believer ought to have, and one I struggle with. All right, this is the one I struggle with. The people did fear. The people did fear. I believe this fear has to do with worship. Has to do with worship, all right? Now, when it says there that they did fear, it means this, to stand in awe. To stand in awe before the Lord. Service is different than worship. Now, service may be worship, but not all service is worship. If I serve one of you, all right, I don't believe that's in worship of God. That's service to you. That's in love for you. Now, it may be out of love for God, absolutely. But worship is not about anybody else except me and God. It's about me and God. And the Bible says here that after they had this message preached to them, it says they obeyed, or they served, and they did fear. A combination of two that are necessary. Now, you say, what did they obey? That's interesting, because it's not until we get to verse 14 where we find that they start working on the house. All right, now I believe there are two things that they did prior to verse 14, and it's basically what they were challenged with in the verses prior. Two commands there to consider their ways. That's a challenge in itself. When we're challenged from the Word of God in something regarding our life, are we obedient to the Spirit of God and do due diligence to search it out? You don't understand what I mean. When the Word of God is preached, or when you're reading the Word of God in your own personal time, and one of those truths just sort of stands out, and you look at that, do you do due diligence to work it out? Do you try and get to the bottom of it? Are you trying to find what God's will is in that for you? Or is it just, oh, that's interesting. There's some good knowledge. How about you turn it into wisdom? Put it into practice. But secondly, I believe they did what the challenge was in verse 8. They went up the mountain and started gathering some wood. That's how I read their obedience. Some preparation. Some getting ready for what they were going to do. You know, that's an important phase of service. You see, not all service is instantaneous where you can jump straight into it. It's done with some preparation. I believe that is still part of the service. But the actual act of that service, there's a process to that. All right? Now, when it comes to, for example, preaching the Word of God, and this is just a practical thing that you could probably see as I do this, there had to be some time put into what's taking place. It doesn't just happen. Now, some of the things that God gives you, I believe, are given by the Spirit of God when you need them. I believe that too. But it would be absolutely foolish to think that a preacher could get up and just say, well, as we get up to preach, well, I'm going to just go read a passage and ask God to speak through me as I preach. That would be foolish. All right, he hasn't done due diligence in his study of the Word of God. All right, there's a preparation to it. Now, whatever service you do for the Lord or for others, you'd have to admit there's got to be some preparation. Now, some of that preparation is just your approach. There's some humility. There's some sacrifice. And there's many other things that we could talk about as part of that preparation to that, whatever that service may be. But I believe that as best as they knew, they were doing what they had to do. In simplicity, that's what it was. And then they had their worship as well. You know, worship is important because it's time with God alone. Now, we worship God corporately. That's important. It's commanded to do. But how often is it that we spend time with God on our own? And this is a challenge to me. And sometimes it's no excuse, but there's difficulty because of the pressures of ministry, of working, and of family, and all these other things. And we have to recognize that some things sometimes get out of balance. Now, it's not possible to be in a state of worship 24/7. All right, so don't feel guilty if you're not worshiping 24/7. People say, oh, my life is just a life of worship. No, it's not. Your life is a life of service with worship. But worship is very important. All right, very important. The Bible says there they obeyed and they did fear. You know, nowhere in this to this point do we see where they were influenced by how they felt about it. You know, I believe these are acts of the will, the decisions and choices that we make. I'm not waiting for God to zap me to give me a good feeling about worship. Right? Now, some people approach this aspect of worship on a feelings-only basis. I don't want to do that. I want to be careful that we distinguish between an act of worship and the emotion in worship. Now, you say, do you think that emotion in worship is okay? Some emotion is okay and some is not. But to say that we're completely unemotional in our worship, I believe would be wrong as well. Because God has made us as emotional beings with feelings. All right, but we need to be careful that we get the balance right. Now, most of the Christian life, as far as I can see, is based on biblical balance. And not taking one thing to an extreme over another. The Bible says that we worship God in what? Spirit and in truth. It's balanced. All right, both of them are important. But both of them are no good of them on their own. You can't just worship God in truth. And you can't just worship God in spirit. You need both put together to be biblical worship. Sadly, there are many churches who worship just in spirit. All right, and it's a circus. But then you've got others who worship just in truth, and it's pretty stale and pretty boring. Now, we've got to be careful how we approach this. And I don't want to say anything out of class, but there is a certain amount of our worship which concerns me. I'm not being picky at the church here. I'm just saying as a general thing. You know, we are so conservative that we do not allow anything of an outward show which shows I'm in love with the Lord Jesus. Now, when I'm in love with my wife and people around, guess what? They kind of know. They can see. My kids get embarrassed. All right? Now, I don't want to take that to an extreme in the church where you've just got this outpouring of emotion and all that. You understand what I'm trying to say here? All right? I'm not trying to change the way things are done, and I'm not trying to imply that we've got it all wrong. I'm just trying to say that we have to be careful that we don't push it to an extreme where we miss out on something which God intended for us to enjoy as part of our worship. You say, well, can you enjoy worship? I think you ought to. If you don't enjoy worshiping the Lord, then you most probably won't. All right, so we need to recognize something. Let's not be scared to talk about it. Let's not be scared to look into it and think, well, hang on just a minute. Don't let the charismatics have all the fun. Worship, important. All right, where were we? Back to the page. No feeling yet, is there? No feelings yet. It's based on choice. It's knowing that this is what God's word says. That's the start. But that's not the finish. If that's all we have, we're in trouble. All right, there ought to be the joy of the Lord, joy unspeakable and full of glory. All right, there needs to be that at times. Let's have a look further. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people. We have the people's response and then we have God's response. Isn't that good? The people responded and then God responds to the people's response. And this is what he says. The Lord's message unto the people. This was just for them. Saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. Isn't that good? When God sees his people in obedience to him and worshipping him as they ought, guess what he is? He's attracted to that. God inhabits the praises of his people. You say, does God have feelings? Of course he has feelings. He knows how we feel. Why? Because he has emotions himself. Now, that's a whole other thing. But God's response was, as a result of the action that you've taken, now I'm with you again. That hand that was against you is now for you. That hindrance is now helping. God's presence comes with obedience. That's what it does. If you want to enjoy the presence of God, then start being obedient to the Word of God. That's in simplicity. I want to know God's presence. Well, do you want to do what God asks you to do? Well, I'm sort of not, you know, I'm not that keen about doing this. Well, don't expect God's presence. Now, I'm not talking about some mystical feeling, all right? Now, this is not to be confused with sitting in a corner with your legs crossed and your hands folded singing Kumbaya. That's not what we're talking about. That's not the presence of God. That's just foolishness. But sensing God's presence in your life as you go through your daily walk, where things just happen to work out because God's in it. You know when God's helping you and you know when God's not. There's a big difference. Another of the response of God to this is in verse 14. And the Lord stirred up the spirit. Isn't that good? This isn't some emotional response by the people. This is God moving now in their hearts. And he's stirring up the spirits. I believe there's some feeling here. You say, well, it doesn't say feelings. No, but it's talking about stirring, moving, people being shaken, people being affected. And he stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, he stirred up the spirit of Joshua, and then he stirred up the spirit of the remnant of the people, and they came and what? Did work in the house now. You know, it's one thing to do things out of, I suppose, expectation and duty and by command and just because maybe it's just the right thing to do. It's one thing to do that and that's a good thing. But it's a whole other thing when you just can't wait to do something for the Lord because you're stirred. There's a big difference. You can tell it when a person loves to do what God wants them to do and you can tell when they just have to do it. And I would much rather want to do it because I just can't get enough of it than to be held with my hand behind my back and forced to do it because I know that's the will of God. That's the difference. That's the difference between the obedience and worship producing, in what I believe in my life, a zeal and desire. Now, it's interesting here. When you look at this, in verse 15, it says, in the 24th day of the 6th month, in the second year. Go back to verse 1, and we'll just do some maths here. It says, in the second year of Darius the king, in the 6th month, in the first day. Now, that's significant. That's significant. It seems, and I haven't done a very comprehensive study. I know of other examples in Scripture, but it seems that from the time God asks obedience to the time somebody does that and to the time when they're rejoicing and zealous and all those things, sometimes there's a process of time. It doesn't always happen that you recognize what God wants you to do and you start doing it and you feel good about it all of a sudden. It doesn't always happen that way. Now, sometimes it does. But there are times when you just do it because you need to do it and you just wait on the Lord just to fill in the blanks because you don't really know. That's okay. Just keep worshiping the Lord. Just keep serving the Lord. We don't do this to get a good feeling out of it, but thank God when he does give us some feelings in it. When you and I have this desire for God, this zeal for God, this love for God, this affection, and whatever else are the emotions that we can have in our service and worship, what a blessing it is. Now, we oughtn't do that just because of that's the benefit of it, but thank God he does give it. I remember a number of years ago, when I say a number of years ago, it's probably 5 or 6 years ago. What are we in now, 2023? Okay, 4 years ago. I remember sitting on my bed. I was having my quiet time. And I was contemplating my mind just where I was at. I was considering. And one of the things I was considering at that point was I felt the lack of emotion, the lack of feeling that I had. I really did. It bothered me. It really bothered me. And I'd be careful to say that I don't believe you ought to chase a feeling. I think I've said that already. But it did bother me because I felt that there was something missing. And I kind of prayed. I said, Lord, I don't want to just be this way. I want to feel something. Now, I will say that the process in what I went through to have some feelings was pretty serious. And I'll share very briefly what it was. We were away up in the Northern Territory at the time on holidays, and I developed appendicitis. Now, I have a blood condition which is fairly serious, and as a result of that condition, the appendicitis meant that I couldn't stay where I was. I had to get flown to Darwin. So they flew me to Darwin in the Royal Flying Doctors or Care Flights or whatever they call them, and I was in a lot of pain. I was obviously aware of the fact that if I was to, at that point, have an operation with my condition, I would most probably bleed out and die. And I remember lying in the hospital, and obviously the surgeons and doctors and medical staff are talking to me about all these things. And as we're discussing it, they said to me, look, we're going to give you some platelet infusions, and we're hopeful that will help to stem the bleeding and so forth and so on. You know, some of you may be doctors or in the medical, and you understand these things. But anyway, I was lying in the bed, and I was waiting to be wheeled into the theatre. There was a lineup, and they literally couldn't get me in there. And I'm, you know, fair bit of pain, and all these things are going through my mind. And it was one of those moments where I laid there, and I thought, you know, if I die right now, That's kind of disappointing. Because I looked at my life, I looked at the way it had been, and just remember that I'd been praying in recent times about, you know, feeling and about emotion, about having something that was a little more than what I had. And as I was laying there, I honestly felt that the pressure on me, and I said to the Lord, not these exact words, but words along the lines of, Lord, if I have to come home now, I said, I'm sorry, but I'll have to crawl in. I won't be able to walk in. I said, I don't feel there's much there. And I said, I'm embarrassed by that. And I said, Lord, if you'll give me another chance at whatever you want me to do, I'm willing to do it. And as I was laying there, one of the orderlies walked past the bed I was lying on. And as he walked past, he put his hand on the bed and he said, God be with you, and kept walking. And I thought, wow, that's pretty good. Talk about feelings. Talk about emotion. I was a mess. I was lying there. I was bawling my eyes out. I was just like, what is all this? What's this mean? They wheeled me in, and obviously I came out the other side, still alive. But I spent close to 10 days. I spent a few days in recovery. I went back home for a week and then developed a serious infection. And I had to go back in the hospital for a week. And a lot of things happened, but I can honestly say that in those 10 days I had more feelings and more emotions than I've ever had in my entire life. Be careful what you pray for. I felt like I was wrung out, literally. I felt at times like the Lord Jesus was sitting next to me in bed. And I felt other times, why am I here? What are you doing? I had the whole range, everything in between. But I learned some things through that I most probably would never have learned if I hadn't prayed, Lord, please help me with some feelings. But I say all that to say this, well, they're not the focus though. Be careful it doesn't become the focus, because what will happen is God will have to put you in things in your life and place in your life that'll wear you out. You need a little bit of respite sometimes from your feelings. You really do. You need to catch your breath and just go through a normal life and just accept the fact that, well, I don't feel that way today, but guess what? I'm going to still go up the mountain. I'm still going to get the wood. I'm going to come back down. We're going to keep building this house, and we're going to keep doing what God wants to do regardless of how I feel. And if God stirs me, if God moves in me to a way where I feel that, thank God and praise God for it. Enjoy it while you can. It is a real part of a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I fear too often we look at what God says in relation to the benefits before we'll make a decision. That wasn't the attitude here of the people. They weren't doing deals with God. They weren't saying, well, God, if you do this, I'll do this. I believe too often as believers, we come to God on that premise and we say, well, I'm open to do whatever you want me to do in service as long as... And then we may not say it out loud, but in our minds, in our hearts, we're condemned by that. No, let's just keep it simple, right? Let's keep it simple. Service and worship. Service and worship. Now, whatever God has for you, no matter what it is, if He wants and calls you to do it, He'll always enable you to do it. Remember that. He always has the means. This is not something where we look at it and we think, well, I can do this, but He'll have to do that. No, you have to look at it on this basis. He'll have to provide all the things I need. Yes, I present my body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto Him, and all the rest, you know the passage. But at the end of the day, if God doesn't give us something, then it won't account for anything, not for eternity. But sometimes it takes some time, doesn't it? It took 23 days. For that work as it should have been to start recommencing. There was some preparatory work. There was some searching of the heart. There was some considering of maybe many other things that were in their lives. We don't know everything that was happening at this time for every individual. The principles are there. The principles are there. You know, as believers, we need to be careful that we don't ever reach a point in our life where we're happy and we're content with where we're at. Well, I've reached this level of spirituality. I'm just content to be here. God doesn't work that way. No, He's trying to make us more like the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's a lifelong process. And we need to submit to the will of God so that the work of God can continue. You know, in doing so, you'll be a blessing to so many people. You really will. You see, it's not a matter of what I get out of it, it's what God gets out of me and what other people get out of me. The benefit of that is you will get something out of it. But that's not why we do it. That's not the focus. The focus is on what? Well, there's a mountain, there's the wood, there's the house. Well, here's my service. And there's my Lord. Here's my worship. Service and worship, is that what we have in our life? You say, well, I've got plenty of service. Well, that's great. But do you take time to worship? You say, well, I just spend my entire life just worshiping God. You're probably not much good to anybody else. You need to help other people. You can still serve God at times and worship Him together, but you need to take time to serve one another. We need to submit ourselves to one another and to serve one another by love. Galatians chapter 5, that's what we ought to do. That's part of one of the reasons why God left us here. I thought it was just, we were just left here to share the gospel with the lost. That's part of it as well. But it starts here in the local church. If we don't get the service right in the church, we won't get it right outside the church. Starts here. Starts with our service to one another and our worship God. We'll leave it there tonight. We'll have someone perhaps come and close in prayer.